Blog Talk Radio.
This goes out to my partner that passed away, Eugene Reckler, Robert Squirrel Lester, Pretty Old John. I remember, oh yeah, the signs of springtime. There were birds, music, everywhere. Some of us played, oh, and some of us cried. Can't you see? Oh, can't you see the tears in my eyes? She's what I had dreamed of. She's all that I think of, yeah. Ooh. 10 feet tall. Oh, I was riding so high. What eyes of a child.
Eyes of a child.
Shining so bright.
Yes!
Can't wait. Come on, y'all.
Cold this day.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Soul School Music with the legendary last man standing, Marshall Thompson of the Shy Light. That cold tune right there, The Coldest Days of My Life, is particularly dedicated to his fellow Shy Lights that have gone on to reign in paradise. Ladies and gentlemen, let me bring in the co-host of Soul School Music live on Tribe Family Channel, sponsored by Genius is Common, Marshall Thompson. What's happening, my brother? How are you? Your audio is light. Am I on speaker? Because I can't hear you.
No, you're not on speaker. I'm on the regular phone.
All right, there you go, my brother. I hear you loud and clear. How are you this afternoon?
Very good. Very, very, very good today. You know, we're getting ready for that movie coming out. So I'm excited.
I know you are. Listen, I can hear some background audio. If y'all could please turn down any volume that you have going, I would appreciate it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special show set up for you. This is not an interview, but this is a discussion. This is some true edutainment. This is going to educate you about real true school on Soul School Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson. So let me tell you a little bit about Merle Bubba Knight before we even bring on our guest. He is an American R&B soul singer, best known as a member of Gladys Knight and the Pips. The oldest brother of lead singer Gladys Knight, Bubba Knight served as the unofficial leader of the group and was instrumental in handling the Pips' business matters. That sounds like the official business leader to me, but you know I got this off the internet. So, ladies and gentlemen, for those that are new school, that don't understand true school on Soul School Music Mondays, first we're going to go down memory lane with the bio from the internet about Gladys Knight and the Pips. Gladys Knight and the Pips were an R&B soul family musical act from Atlanta, Georgia, that remained active on the music charts and performance circuits for three decades. Starting out as simply the Pips in 1952, derived from a cousin's nickname, the founding members were Gladys Knight, brother Merrill Bubba Knight, our guest tonight, sister Brenda Knight, and cousins William and Eleanor Guest. And we want to say rest in peace for those that have gone on. After a couple of years performing in talent shows, the group signed with Brunswick Records in 1957, recording a couple of singles that failed to chart. Brenda Knight and Eleanor Guest were eventually replaced by another cousin, Edward Patton, and a non-relative, Langston George, in 1959. This lineup produced the group's first hit single, Every Beat of My Heart. After the single was released on three different labels, they changed their name to Gladys Knight and the Pips shortly afterwards. Langston George left the same year, and Gladys Knight left in 1962 to start a family with musician Jimmy Newman. Knight rejoined in 1964, and this lineup continues until the group's disbandment in 1989. The group reached commercial success after signing with Motown Records in 1966. Struggling for a year and a half and being treated as a second-string act in the label, the group recorded the first hit single version of I Heard It Through the Grapevine in 1967, which led to several hit singles for Motown's Soul Records label, including Nitty Gritty, Friendship Train, If I Were Your Woman, and Neither One of Us Wants to Be the First to Say Goodbye, before leaving the label for Buddha Records in 1973, where they recorded the hits Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me, I've Got to Use My Imagination, and their number one hit single, Midnight Train to Georgia, some of which we'll hear tonight, including Midnight Train to Georgia. Contractual difficulties with their labels forced the group to record side projects until 1980, when they signed with Columbia Records. Later, hits included Save the Overtime for Me and the Grammy-winning single Love Overboard, and you know we're going to blast that. In 1989, the group disbanded, with the Pips retiring and Knight embarking on a successful solo career. Gladys Knight and the Pips are multiple Grammy and American Music Award winners. Let me repeat that. Gladys Knight and the Pips are multiple Grammy and American Music Award winners and are inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Vocal Group Hall of Fame in 1996 and in 2001, respectively. Ladies and gentlemen, get off your feet and welcome to Soul School Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson, the legendary Merrill Bubba Knight. Hi, Mr. Knight. How are you?
I'm just terrific. And how are you, Beverly?
Hey, Marshall. I am so blessed.
How you doing, my brother?
Hey, man. You know, it's a pleasure to hear from you, man. You takes me way back. Every time I hear your voice, I always start crying, man, because you gave me my first break.
Thank you. Beverly, thank you for that. Yeah. Hey, Beverly, thank you for that that introduction. As a matter of fact, quite a few of the things that you had mentioned, I had forgotten about, man. I'm going like,
wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Thank you.
It's my absolute pleasure, and it's just a wonderful thing to know. And to, you know, when I first met Marshall, Marshall, mm-hmm. you remember you telling me you were playing the drums. So you got your start. So it is playing the drums for Gladys Knight, the Pips. So this is amazing for me to witness that this is like full circle. This is coming home for Marshall. This is, you know, Mr. Knight, this is you coming to Marshall's home, and he is like just – he's like a kid right now. It's just like a blessing. It's a blessing.
Well, Marshall, I have to tell you and your listening audience that Marshall actually saved our engagement, because our drummer did not show up to the engagement, and Marshall was so kind. That brother was so good that he offered his services. He said, "Well, I play drums. I'll play for you guys. I know your drummer didn't show up." And back in the day, we used to look out for each other that way. You know,
we used to look out for each other that way.
And I love Marshall. I can't remember what venue. Marshall, do you remember the venue that?
Because that's what I want to know.
I was 17 years old. Right in the corner of my house was the Regal Theater. That's where I played at.
Oh, we were at the Regal?
That's where you were?
Yeah, that's right. We were playing the Regal Theater. And our drummer didn't show up.
I've been practicing y'all's song and new song. Everybody loved. And I practiced for 3 weeks because I knew y'all was coming in.
Hey, Marshall. I have to ask a question, okay? Did you have anything to do with our drummer not being able to show up?
I'm glad he didn't show. Because I'm going to tell you something, Bubba. I'm telling you something, man. And when y'all had me do that show, man, I put everybody on the block, and the curtain opened up. I froze. My foot wouldn't move. I said, "Tat, tat." Bubba.
Wow. So now, how did that feel coming together on that stage at that moment? And this, the Regal Theater, what kind of memories does that bring back for you, Mr. Knight?
Oh,
for
my
Gladys,
goodness.
You know, for...
The Regal Theater was like really a part of the stepping stones to help Gladys Knight and the Pips reach another level. Because there was the theater circuit, the Apollo Theater in New York, the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C., the Regal Theater in Chicago. So that circuit, that theater circuit, was one of the main things that catapulted us to another level, a higher level in the business. So the Regal Theater was very, very important in helping us to reach our goals. And Marshall, I can't thank him enough for saving us at that particular time, because if Marshall hadn't showed up, and if Marshall hadn't volunteered his services, we would have had to cancel the show. We wouldn't have been able to perform, you know, because we weren't an a cappella group.
We were
a group that had musicians behind us. So without a drummer, there's no heartbeat.
Marshall was the heartbeat.
I remember it plain as day. I was 17 years old. Now I'm 73.
Marshall, you were 17.
My God,
I was 17 years old when you and William had
my
death.
Hey, Marshall, you know what? I'm glad we didn't get in trouble with the union.
I was a musician.
I was in the union. Because I'm going like, Marshall, you were underage, man.
I was with the union. I was with Blood and them. Blood was the union man, yeah. Remember?
Okay.
I remember
everything,
Marshall.
Okay, so... So now let me ask you this, because that takes us back to, I wanted to get the connection together between your two first meeting. So let me ask you, Mr. Knight, take us back to when you and your family first stepped on that stage. First of all, where did you begin singing? When did you know that you were a singer, a pip? We know you were a businessman and were about getting, you know, the business matters handled as the, you know, leader of the group. But take us back to, like, the beginning for you. Where'd you start?
Well, the beginning for all of Gladys Knight and the Pips began in our backyard in Atlanta, Georgia, when we were little children. And there was a neighbor who brought his record player to my birthday party, and he didn't like the music and the records that we were choosing to play on his record player. So he took his record player home, and long story short, we decided to entertain each other by all of the people at my party would get up in the backyard and perform, do something. And that led to my little sister Gladys, my older sister Brenda, Eleanor Guest, my cousin, William Guest, my cousin, decided to sing. We all decided to sing and entertain the people at the party. And they enjoyed us so much. And my mom happened to be listening at the window. And after the party was over, she called us into the living room and asked us if we wanted to be a group, because she liked the way that we harmonized together. And we said, yeah. And that was the beginning. And our first performance was at the YWCA in Atlanta, Georgia, on Tatnall Boulevard, right across the street from Morris Brown College. And we performed for an organization. They were having a tea at the Y. We performed, we liked it, and from that point on, hey, the rest is history.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, how old were you? Happy birthday, happy belated birthday. Because that was your birthday, so the formulation of Gladys Knight and the Pips was on your birthday.
I think I was 10 or 11 or something like that.
Wow.
I was just a little. We were just kids, and we knew each other from church, from Mount Moriah Baptist Church, because we used to sing in the Sunbeam Choir, right? So we knew each other from church, and we knew each other as relatives. And when Eleanor and William came to my birthday party, we just decided to sing, and that's where it was. And my mom wanted us to be chaperoned, and that's where my first cousin Pip came into the picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go on. We're listening. Drop those gems.
Oh. okay. Well, and then from that point, Pip took the lead, and he signed us up for a couple of talent shows in Atlanta, Georgia, and we were in a talent contest at the Morocco Lounge on Auburn Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia, right across the street from the Royal Peacock,
Royal Peacock, that's right, the hotel there, Royal Peacock, that's right.
Right across the street.
Right on the corner.
Yeah. And we won the talent contest, and the prize for that talent contest was a professional weekend engagement right across the street at the Royal Peacock.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
So we won that. We went to the Royal Peacock. I mean, we worked at the Royal Peacock, and
the
owners
floor.
Of the Royal
on,
Yeah,
on
up
the
on the second floor.
Floor. Yeah.
And the owners liked us so well that they made us the house group. But we were so young at that time. We were like teenagers then. And we were so young that when we performed the first show, and most of the time there were two or three shows at the Royal Peacock,
Sure
and
was.
Once we performed the first show, we would have to go down the back steps and sit in the car until the second show because we were underage and they were serving alcoholic beverages.
Right.
Okay. Wow. Now, so I have to ask because this is a lot of performing right out the gate. I mean, the only performance that it sounds like wasn't a paying gig was the birthday party. But that was the true gift, the birthing of, you know, this tremendous, legendary, you know, award-winning group. But now, in the beginning, when you did the event at the YWCA or at the Boys Girls Club, whatever it was that a actual paying booking?
No.
Okay, so that was volunteer.
That was
to the first paid
engagement.
Booking.
The first paid
booking
was at
the Flamingo.
Flamingo. No.
No.
The Flamingo
okay.
isn't in there yet. The
okay.
Royal Peacock.
Okay.
The Royal yep. Peacock was the first professional paying gig because we won that talent contest. Remember? That
okay.
was a professional engagement at the Royal Peacock.
Wow.
Okay, but now pin that. Didn't you so when you performed prior to that, because you said you performed at on the corner there, and Marshall remembers up there on the second floor, right? That was
right,
that
Royal
wasn't.
Not, that's the Royal Peacock on the second
the
floor.
The Peacock, I said Flamingo.
Right.
My bad.
Okay,
right. You know, it was a bird.
That's right across the street.
Yeah,
that's right
from
across
the Morocco
Lounge. Hotel. Yeah, hotel is right across the street from Royal Peacock.
That's right, and the Morocco Lounge is right across the street from the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the Morocco Lounge was where they held the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And
since we won
the contest, our first
mm-hmm.
paying engagement was at the Royal Peacock, which
wow.
was by the way, $25.
That's right.
To split up between all of you.
Of course.
Yeah,
on, man. Of course.
No, it wasn't $25. Come on, back
come
then.
On,
but that was a lot of money still.
On,
to me.
Well, we had $15 a piece in Los Angeles with that girl that made that last, Etta James. She paid us $15 a piece.
All right, now. But that was some money back then, too, huh? She didn't ask for nothing for free.
Right.
She paid you. Wow.
Not really.
Go ahead,
Not really, Beverly. Because, we had to buy gas for Pip to drive
right.
up there.
That's right.
After you buy gas.
That's
and
right.
you got, hey man, you're dealing with five individuals. We want
right.
to like maybe $2 or $1 each.
$2, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, what year was this around?
Oh, that was, let me see. That had to be, maybe about 3 years after we, you know, after my birthday party, something like that. So that was
okay.
In 1955.
Right.
That's why I don't know nothing.
Right.
I wasn't here then. I was I wasn't even a thought.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
About 55, 56. And then from that point on, just to give you a little hit, Marsha, when did you start your group? I'm interested about some of the interesting things. Let me ask you this, Marshall, if you don't mind. Beverly, I want to ask Marshall this. I've always wanted to know this question. What and who came up with the name the Shylights, and what does that mean?
Okay, what happened is we was the Highlights when I left you all, and I went on the road with Major Lance with Monkey Time. I came back.
Yeah, Monkey Time,
and,
right.
Yeah, I went after I left you all, I went with Major Lance. You know, so y'all started my break from me. And then I went on the road with Major Lance and with Monkey Time. Then when I got back, I had to get the group together. The group, we've been singing 57 years together, actually, as a group.
Wow.
But
wow.
But when I got back, we was the Highlights. And then
mm-hmm.
after we been Highlights, we had a record called Pots and Pans. So we moved over to Mercury Records. And Mercury had a pop group, a white group called the the highlights. So what we did, we didn't want to change the name because we were playing in Chicago a lot, you know, all the little clubs and things like that. So we just put a C in front of it. We put a C in front of the H because we're from Chicago and just made it Shylight. That's how we did it.
Okay. All right.
It would have been Marshall and the Highlights. It would have been Marshall and the Highlights, but we was trying to get that deal with Mercury Records.
Marshall, I was always under the impression that you named your group the Shylights because you were from Chicago.
Right.
And all those beautiful lights in Chicago at night. I was going like, I bet that's where Marshall got that name from.
We were been the Highlights, man. The highlights.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's
Marshall,
cool.
Marshall and the Highlights. And then we got down to Mercury. We didn't have no hit record. We had something that's trying to be a hit. So they say, well, we're going to put this record out on you all, but you can't use Highlights because we got a pop group over here. It was a white group. We can't let you do that. So we say, dang, what could we do? They say, let's put a C in front of it. We did it right there. Put a C in front of that thing. Called the Shy.
That's good.
Shy Chicago.
That's good.
That's how we got that name going, man.
That's great, man. I always wanted
to. But y'all gave
that.
Me my power. Man, y'all gave me my power. Even when I was at Michael Jackson's funeral, I told your sister, I say, man, you just don't know. That's how you are. I can't thank y'all enough. You and Bubbles and William and all y'all. Man, y'all inspired me, man. Y'all inspired me to do what I did, man. And it worked.
Thank you, Marshall. I really appreciate that, man. Because you handled that situation so well. You took that inspiration and you made that inspiration work for you and the rest of the fellows. And I applaud you for that, my brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I appreciate it, man, because I tell everybody on every interview I do overseas, England, Japan, Australia, all the places that we go, Guam, Singapore, you all come up first. Y'all, the first name come out of my mouth. How did you start?
Thank you.
I say, well, wasn't them starting me? You know.
That's how Tommy said. I used to play the drums for, you know, Gladys Knight and the Pips. Now, let me ask you this, because in your conversation, Marshall, you're mentioning when you left. So how did that evolve that you wound up, okay, so the drummer didn't show up. Marshall's there. He plays the drums. He knows you're coming to town. He's already practiced. Y'all tell him, okay, come on, play. He gets up there. What's the first thing y'all play? What's the first thing those drums start beating out, Marshall?
Everybody needs love. Doom, 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 doom. Everybody needs love.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I had it playing that.
That was great. Marshall, we were with Motown at that time.
Right. Y'all just got with Motown.
We had just signed with Motown, and Everybody Needs Love. I was trying to think of the first record that we recorded over at Motown.
That was a good one for you, because I rehearsed the heck out that's where y'all got to Chicago.
That was the first record that was known. Our first record that we recorded at Motown was Walk in My Shoes. I don't know whether you ever heard that one or not, but Walk in My Shoes was our first record at Motown. It was produced by Johnny Bristol and Harvey Fuqua.
No kidding.
Harvey Fuqua and Johnny Bristol. They produced Walk in My Shoes. And a little tidbit to you, Marshall. I don't know how you and your group handled this kind of situation. But when we first got to Motown, they put the company, the producers put the Andantes on our music. I don't know whether you ever heard of them or not, but that girl sound, the girl sound that was on just about every Motown record that you could hear. The Andantes sung on just about all of those records, even some of the Four Tops and all of those groups, right? So when Walk in My Shoes came out, and we didn't hear it before they had mastered it. And when it came on the radio, we're going like, whoa, 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 whoa. that's watering down our sound. You know, we have a sound of our own before we went to Motown. So we went to Mr. Gordy, and we told him and the producers that we don't want any other voices on any of our music.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And agreed to it, so that was already out. So there was nothing that we could do about that particular song. But from that point on, Marshall, all of the backgrounds that you hear on our music at Motown and before Motown is the Pips, William Gibbs.
Right, that's the same way with the Shy Life.
Okay.
Nobody but us.
That's your sound.
Nobody but us.
That's your sound.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So,
So now how long did you stay with Gladys Knight and the Pips, Marshall?
I only did that first thing at the Regal Theater with him.
Yeah, the Regal Theater.
Okay.
Yeah, I played with Red
Sanders.
Oh,
so when you left the theater, you saying when you left the theater,
I was excited. Yeah, I was excited then. When I left Red Sanders' band with the Pips, I was excited. And then I used the Pips' name to get in everybody else's door. You know, what did you play at? Man, I played with Gladys Knight and the Pips. What?
There you go.
Come on over here. Now I got to over here.
That's
right. Major Lance drummer got drafted. So when he had to go to the Army, he went to the Army. Then they got me. Get Marshall. Then I left there and went with Lee Dorsey. Get out my wife. Get out my life.
Lee Dorsey sitting on the yah-yah.
Right.
For my yah-yah.
That was me playing drums on that. Then I played on Twine Time. It's Twine Time. Ooh. I played drums on that. So I was doing my thing. And then I took the guys out. Now, how the Shy Lights did theirs in Houston, Texas, way by near Cinder Club. That's where I first took Michael Jackson and his group. But when it happened, I was down there playing for Major, and Major was late getting to the club. So the people was hollering, Major Lance. And so Ray Barnett said, Marshall, could anybody sing in the band? I said, yeah, I can sing. I can do something. So I sung Rainbow. I sung Gene Taylor's Rainbow. I sung Gene Taylor's Rainbow. And then them girls went crazy, man. They said they went crazy. Oh, it was fun,
Gene,
man. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, Marshall, did you ever play with Gene?
Yeah.
You
played with Gene too? Man, I played with everybody in
Chicago. You did that Duke of Earl thing?
Yeah, I did. I did it on the records. I was playing on all our early records with the Shy Lights. Yeah, I played on all of them, real early records. Now, then after that, Sav took over and started playing.
Oh, I see.
But it started from y'all, man. Y'all the one kicked it off of me.
Hey, how long did you play with Red Sanders Band? Because that was the house
Red Sanders Band. I played with him for at least about four shows. Because after I did it with you all, after I played with you all, I went with the Staple Singers at the Regal.
You went with Pops and them?
Yeah, I was with Pops and them too. You know, and I did Pops and them took me to the Uptown in Philly, Uptown Theater in Philly. Then I left Uptown and went to the Royal Theater in Baltimore.
Baltimore,
I did all that stuff, man. Then when I got my break with the group, I was trying to contact you all. And I finally got the hold of William. Yeah, I couldn't get you because you was running. But I got William. I said, William, I got my group out here. He said, what? I said, man, I got my group, man. We just shy like. He went nuts. Yeah, William went nuts for it. I said, William, boy, thank y'all. I told him, he said, man, thank you. He said, Marcy, you was going to do it, man. You were determined. I said, I'm going to do it, man. And I did it, man. And then I end up on the show with y'all. Remember doing the marinas? I did some running with the Shawlites coming in there. We did a few shows together. That was nice.
Was that the
That's good, Marshall.
We did three or four shows together. North Carolina, Stadium, Reno.
Yeah.
Everything.
Hey, Marshall.
A lot of stuff.
Hey, Marshall. How many of the group members are still with us?
Nobody but me.
You're the only one?
Last Man Standing. That's my bookers out there. Shout out, like Last Man Standing, Marshall Thompson.
So am I, Marshall.
I know you're the only one left. No, William is gone, and then, but William had he had an ice cream place or something, didn't he?
Yeah, William and Edward, they went into the ice cream business.
Right.
They went into the ice cream business. Yeah, but it's Otis with the Temptations.
Right.
Me. Duke with the Four Tops, right?
Right. That's it.
And me.
That's it.
Shani
wow.
Turner.
That's it.
Shani Turner.
That's it.
He the last one.
Huh?
Yeah.
Shani Turner is the last one of the platters.
Platters, yeah.
Sonny is the last one, isn't he?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah.
Wow.
That's it, buddy. And we still out
well,
here,
we
man.
Blessed,
we still
my brother.
Doing what we do. You better believe
we blessed,
man.
My brother.
Yeah.
Hey,
I have fun
with
Beverly.
I have such a ball with you all, and these conversations you're having is just the gems and what, you know, the public has not known. So please continue on. You're blessing us.
Well,
hey,
God
Marshall.
Has blessed us.
Oh, yes, he has. Yeah, that's the only way, that's the only reason that we are here. That's the only reason that we were and who we are now. And
that's
the only reason that we will continue to go further with his blessing, That's it. Without him, nothing. Absolutely
amen.
Nothing.
Amen. We give him all praise and thanks. And I just want to thank him for this moment. Let me remind our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now tuning in, you are listening to a very rare conversation that you will not hear anywhere else between the legendary last man standing of the shot, like Mr. Marshall Thompson, co-host of Soul School Music Mondays here live on Tribe Family Channel. I am the creator of Tribe Family Channel, Beverly Black, and it is our privilege and pleasure to have Mr. Bubba Pip Number One Knight here of the legendary Gladys Knight and the Pips. And as you heard him say, he is the last man standing of the Pips. So this is truly, truly a blessing. Gentlemen, when's the last time you saw each other?
Oh,
well, I came to see him. I came to see him at the Star Plaza where I'm playing New Year's Eve this year. I'm playing there New Year's Eve.
That's Maryville,
Indiana,
isn't it?
Right, that's right. That was the last time I seen you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Marshall, you said you're going to be playing there for New Year's?
Yeah, me and the OJs together.
Oh, you and Eddie. We just came off the road with Eddie and Walter.
Right.
Eddie and Walter, we just finished a tour with them.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Well, we together New Year's Eve. Shy Lights and them and a comedian came named Damon Williams.
Damon Williams. Hey,
yeah,
Marshall.
Good,
So who do you have in your group now? Are there members that I know or you just auditioned and picked some new guys?
Yeah, these guys I had around Chicago, I've been knowing them for like 35 years. And I put them in the group. I put them in the group, and they, you know, since I had the stroke, I sang in the front, but I sang on a little keyboard. I got me a little bit of keyboard, and I do all my thing. And the curtains, what happens is I come on the stage with a blackout, and when that light hit first come on, I'm start singing my song first. Then I bring them out, and then we go into all the medley of all the songs that we had. And then when I go off stage, they do another blackout, then I'm off.
People say, Hey, Marshall. What's that song that you sang to open the show?
Oh, that's Coldest Day of My Life.
Oh, the coldest day.
Coldest Day of My Life.
Coldest Day of My Life. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did that on Unsung.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All
I
right.
Did that on
so you opened the show up. You opened the show up with that, huh?
You're right. I opened that up with them in their Spellbound. Man, you should see it in the pin drop in that tree.
Wow.
And then I go. And then I go into that medley. That's, you know, all the hits. You know, Stone Out of My Mind, Tory, Right Better. All that. So, oh, girl, have you seen it? I just go all the way down the line, man. Power to the people.
Yep.
Give them up.
That's great,
that.
Man. That's great.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, I'm hanging, God bless. Man. God bless. God bless me. Yeah.
God bless you, yeah. Marshall. So right you had a stroke? I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I had it on Soul Train Cruise. Me and Charlie Wilson was on there with me, and Ronnie Isley. All of us together.
Uh-huh.
I was up on the ship eating breakfast. And bingo, I couldn't even get up.
Wow. I didn't know that.
We had just came from the dark, man. We just came
in.
Just got
it.
Uh-huh.
But see, the devil is a liar because he tried to take him out. But you know what? He's still the last man standing, ladies and gentlemen. You tuned in to Soul School Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson. And the devil is a liar. Look at him. What on here with Bubba Knight? Coming full circle. You know, he did that. Did he come on back, Mr. Knight? He came on back. He said, nope, it ain't over till it's over. And he's still singing, still singing, still bringing it. And come on now. And ladies and gentlemen, y'all need to go to his website, www.shy-lights.info. Is it info?
Shylights.info.
And pick up that book, Last Man Standing. Go to Amazon, hit him up on Facebook, and get the full story about the Shy Life, Marshall Thompson's Last Man Standing. And then also, I wanted to say, you see how all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, because he's here coming full circle thanking you for the start that he got on your platform, Mr. Knight, at 17.
Yeah.
Now
that's
something right there.
Yeah, that's really great, and I thank Marshall for all that he's done, and for his accomplishment as far as bringing his music and his spirit to the entertainment business and show business, and he's a true legend, you know.
A true legend. You both are true legends.
Yeah, he's a true
come
legend.
Come on now. Amen.
And, you know, and I applaud him, and I give him all due respect for what he's done.
And that's
what
he's
doing.
That's the same here for the Pips. Gladys Knight and the Pips. What bigger name can you even talk about? You know, Gladys Knight and the Pips, man. I mean, dancing, right? Everything. You know, steps. I used to watch them all the time, see what I could steal something, Beverly. Let me see what I could steal one of
them. Come on now with the moves. You know what? Let's talk about the Pips, though. I mean, we have seen, come on now, we've seen you on Soul Train with Don Cornelius. We've seen you on every major platform across the globe, and we've seen comedians that just come out. They've got so many parodies where it's just the background. Leaving, woo-hoo. How does that feel to know that people respect the Pips so much that they would even show clips where it's just the background, because that's just how beautifully you harmonize back there. Come on, we didn't have nobody putting out the steps and the suits and the afros. Come on now, y'all was cleaner than the Board of Health. Like I tell Marsha, y'all was clean.
You.
Come on now,
thank you.
Just Chris.
That's quite an honor, and I really thank you, and I thank all the fans and the support that we've had over the years. And I have to give props to Charlie Atkins.
Right.
That was our pops. He was our choreographer,
yeah.
And we did it ourselves in the beginning. But when Pops came aboard, he really polished us and gave us a look. He gave us a
right.
look. Mr. Maurice King gave us a sound. And between the two of those gentlemen, who I give all due respect to, I really, really appreciate them. And their names, they are unsung heroes. Because when
That's
you
right.
see us and you hear us, you hear them and you see them. And although Pop is gone, Mr. King is gone, they're up there teaching some other kids music and choreography. But I give them their props. Charlie Atkins and Maurice King. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Charlie was the best there is. Charlie was the best there is. I mean, all the
way. Oh, yeah. Everybody
mm-hmm.
used. Pops was so good that Barry Gordy, when he wanted choreography for some of his acts at Motown, he stole Pops from us.
Wow.
Yeah, he stole Pops from us and hired him over at Motown Records to choreograph some of his groups that he had already. And also, he also hired Mr. King, Maurice King. So he took
right.
all of what we had, he took our foundation away from us. And when it came to making the decision of whether we were going to go with Motown or not, that played a huge role in my decision because
wow.
Maurice King was there, Charlie Atkins was there. So I made a business decision. It was a split vote. We voted on everything. We were a Democratic group. And when the vote came down, it was two, Gladys and me, and it was William and Edward. William and Edward wanted to go to Motown, period.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure that my little sister was in an environment that she could live with and that she would be happy in because we were happy doing what we were doing. But
right.
I made a business decision to break that split vote. And I voted for Motown after I thought about all the business decisions. And I was under the impression that once we got to Motown, if we could get that one big hit at Motown, and we're already there with Charlie Atkins and Maurice King, what that could do to elevate the good of the group, the
mm-hmm.
whole group. So
mm-hmm.
I was the swing vote, and I voted to
okay.
go to Motown. And
mm-hmm.
we wound up at Motown, and the rest is history.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Wow. Yep. Yep.
Big time.
Yep. So
that is absolutely amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Now let's fast forward to how did it feel when you received as a group and a family the first award for music, and when did you know, you know what, we made it. We made it. When was that we made it moment?
We still haven't made it yet. That's how I feel about it. I feel like we can always do better. We can always
uh-huh.
grow. We can always
right.
learn more. We can always
right.
reach for higher heights. And so
right.
I've never felt like we made it. I felt like
mm-hmm.
we accomplished some of our goals, but those are goals along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those
mm-hmm.
are goals along the way, Beverly. So I don't know, man. It's a thing like right now, like what Marshall is doing. Marshall is moving on as a solo artist. You know,
mm-hmm.
basically, you're a solo artist. You just surrounded yourself with some other group members. Yeah, some
That's
other
right.
guys to carry on your musical legend.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, there's still things for me and for me to do as a solo artist. As sometimes I go out with my sister Gladys as a guest, guest artist. Sometimes, not all the time, and because she's a solo artist now. Period. She's solo. And every now and then I go out, but mostly I'm taking care of my family. I'm spending a lot of time with my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my wife. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing that we put all of these years into building the reputation that we have, that Bev, that you wanted to call me and say, Bubba Knight, I'd like for you to be a guest on my show with your brother Marshall Thompson. And here I am.
Wow, and let me tell you, I'm so honored. Let me tell you, when I first saw your area code ringing my number, I knew it was you. I said, oh, my God. And I really want to thank and send out my sisterly love and hugs to Mr. Lamont McLemore for producing this particular show. He made it possible. You said yes without hesitation. Couldn't wait to talk to Marshall. And here we are. And so I am so thankful and grateful for, you know, the opportunity to speak to two legends and to hear the conversation between you two, to be part of the reunion that you two have had at this moment. It has just been an absolute thriller. Let me ask you this. Where people find you if they want to visit you online, or, you know, are there any acts that you plan to, you know, cameo in? Give us a little tidbit of what may be on the horizon.
Actually, right now, Beverly, I'm just, like I said, I'm spending a lot of time with my wife and my family, and there are a couple of things that's in the, you know, that's in the making right now. I sometimes perform with a group here called Broadway in the Hood. That's a group that Tory Russell organized here in Las Vegas. And he takes underprivileged children with problems and things like that, and he gives them an opportunity to be in plays and act and sing and dance in his shows. So I support him 2,000%. So sometimes I perform with them. I did The Color Purple with them, and I played a role in that. And there's a possibility there's a possibility that I may be doing the Wiz with his Broadway in the Hood company.
That is so amazing. Yes,
it's like giving back. You know,
giving back.
You know, and I also go around with the History Makers Back to School program, and I go to some of the schools and, you know, tell the kids about my history and how I got where I am as far as an entertainer. You know, things like that. That's a joy for me. It's not a money situation. It's a thing. I get paid to like Marshall. I get paid if some kid walk up to me and say, "You inspire me." You know, I'm inspired by you and your story.
That's right.
You know,
that's
the payoff for me.
Right.
Amen,
right.
Amen. And this is the time to give back. I mean, you've toured the world. You've amassed success. You're a household name. You have gold records, awards. And so to allow people access to you that have art and music and performing in their hearts, and to be able to access you and to be able to have your support with Broadway in the Hood, that is amazing. I love the concept. I love the philanthropy. I love giving back. I have Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program, Gumbo for the Soul Publications, and I focus on literacy, adoption, foster care, breast cancer, prostate cancer awareness. And so we're going to have books that are honoring different legends. Mandela's coming up. We've already honored Michael Jackson. But we publish these books and we give them away. And so the type of work that you're doing is philanthropy and it's giving back and it's so necessary. So I commend you for that and for allowing you know, people to be able to perform and get on stage and just to experience that because they've taken out art and, you know, the things that would come from a person's soul. They've taken that out of the school. Arts and music is not in the schools anymore. And that's the only thing that they can't, you know, that's the only thing that comes out of you. So to take that from the individual, it's taken a lot away. And so to give it back through, by way of these different programs, I salute you. I'm going to look them up and see how I can partner as a literacy program, Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program, and one of our executive producers, Genius is Common, which is produced by Mr. Bruce George, who is the creator of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO. And so we want to give a shout out to him as well. Anyone wanting to connect with our executive producer, we encourage you to go and express your genius at geniusiscommon.com. Definitely go look us up. Follow our radio station, blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul, and follow our page. Also, Marsha, where can everyone find you if they want to get the book, The Last Man Standing, before we wrap up our discussion?
Well, they can go into my website, charlites.info, charlites, and you can go on my Facebook page, Marshall Johnson. I'm friends with Bubbles on his Facebook page as well. So you can catch both of us over there. So, but that's about it for us. You know, Facebook page for me and Twitter. I got Twitter as well as my website.
Well, Marshall, we have to keep in touch with each other in the future. And Beverly, I would appreciate it if you give Marshall my information when we finish this program. I would appreciate it. And also, I just want to give a shout out to your listening audience and thank them, although I don't know them personally, but I want to thank them for that support of me and my sister and my group, Gladys Knight and the Pips, over the many years that they have supported us through our records, through coming to our concerts, coming and seeing us, watching us on TV and all of that. And believe me, without them, there would be no us.
You better read.
And I just thank you. Oh, yeah.
And don't forget the movie. Don't forget the movie.
What's the movie, Marshall?
Out on the 17th. We in the movie, we got the sound for the movie, Have You Seen Her, Dory, for the kids. It's a Walt Disney.
Finding Dory is coming out June 17th. It's called Finding Dory. It's the sequel to Finding Nemo. And it's coming out June 17th. And the soundtrack is Have You Seen Her? And so you can also go to Twitter. Follow Marshall Thompson on Twitter at the at sign The Real Shylight. Follow Tri-Family Channel. Yeah, isn't that awesome?
That's currently on every television station right now. Walt Disney got it everywhere. But again, in the bookstores, and when the kids buy a new computer, it's on there as well. You know.
Congratulations, Marshall. So proud
Thanks.
Of you, man. So proud
Isn't
of you.
That
I'm going to put it in your inbox on your Facebook page.
I want Beverly to give you my telephone numbers as well, because I need for us to stay in touch with each other, okay? All right.
Okay,
same
here, Beverly.
I will definitely do that. And also, Mr. Larry Johnson of the Bar Cage told me to tell you hello. He wants me to give you his phone number, and so I will make sure that I give both of these legendary brothers your phone numbers, vice versa. And I just want to thank you so much, Mr. Bubba Pimp, number one night, for guesting here on Soul School Music Mondays with Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the Shy Lights, live on Tribe Family Channel. I want to just tell you it's been an honor, privilege, and a pleasure. And don't negate to work on that book, because you have a story. There is a memoir in you, and you are also a legendary last man standing. So give the world your story. Please consider giving your story by way of a memoir as well. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to go to theshy-likes.info and pick up The Last Man Standing, or Google Marshall Thompson, The Last Man Standing. Any shout out? Ty Gladys, thank you for lending your brother and your family and all the legendary work. Please tell her that Beverly Black of Tribe Family Channel said hello from the heart.
I most certainly will. Thank you so much, Beverly.
It's my pleasure. And we're going to go out playing Gladys Knight and the Pips. Before we wind it down, excuse me, I want you to tell us a little bit about Love Overboard that you and your sister executively produced. And then I want you to tell us about The Makings of You, written by legendary reigning in paradise, Mr. Curtis Mayfield.
Okay, I'll try to summarize. I'll try to give you a quick version of Love Overboard. We'll start with that one. Love Overboard was produced and written by Reggie and Vincent Calloway. And what we did was Reggie and Vincent Calloway wrote and produced it, and we recorded Love Overboard in their garage. And we recorded in their garage. They mixed it. They put it out. It was great. And we were on, I think we were on Columbia Records at that time, under the supervision of, let me see, who was the head over that? Larkin Arnold. Yeah, Larkin Arnold was the super. And Reggie and Vincent Calloway were the producers and the writers, and we recorded in their garage. And that was
that
the story.
Is amazing.
And it came out, and it was really a good thing for us, because it took us into another kind of era.
It was like a genre breakthrough.
Dance and different from Neither One of Us or Best Thing Ever Happened to Me, which were great songs for us, but Love Overboard took us in another direction, which was great. And to get back to Curtis Mayfield, my brother, rest in peace. The Makings of You, yeah, was recorded right there in Chicago. And The Makings of You was recorded with Curtis Mayfield just one weekend. We did the whole soundtrack in a weekend. We flew into Chicago. Curtis had everything laid out, and he would put it out there for us, and he said, "Okay, cats, take it away."
We made up
a lot of our own backgrounds and things like that. A lot of the backgrounds that you hear from Gladys Knight and the Pips are backgrounds that we made up in the studio, and they would just happen to play the track. Gladys would put a lead vocal on, and we would just make the background. The four of us would sit in the studio and make the background up, put it on, be done with it. And Curtis and I wrote, he had this song called On and On.
Right.
That he had written On and On. And he forgot a part, the middle section. We got stuck on the middle section. And I went home to the hotel that night, And I wrote the middle section and took it back to Curtis the next day. And Gladys and I took it back to Curtis and said, well, how do you like this? Hugging and loving, hugging and loving, tears I feel, whatever you're near, sticking like glue, keep a loving you, on and on. And Curtis said, go put that on. He said, go put that on right now. And we're done with it. So anyway, we had a great time with my brother Curtis Mayfield. And we toured with Curtis briefly a long time before we got to that point together. We toured with Curtis when he was with Jerry Butler and the Impressions. So anyway, that's another story.
You know what? That's a good story, too, because I'm going to let Marshall tell you who was just on our show. Tell him who your sister girl that was just on our show, Marshall. Marshall?
I'm here.
Okay. Did you hear Mr. Knight say that when he was with, when they were, you know, singing and grooving with
Jerry
Curtis
Butler.
Mayfield and Jerry Butler,
and
the Impressions.
Fred and Sam.
Yeah, they did Chicago and Cooktown.
Well, I want to tell you, Mr. Knight, Brenda Lee Eger was just here.
Oh, was she really?
So when you mentioned Jerry Butler, you know, it goes without saying. We had Brenda Lee a couple of weeks ago, or last week, was it? I can't even remember.
Wow.
These shows are going by
so
fast.
Good.
Yeah, and her and Marshall are brother and sister. The energy is amazing. But I want to thank you so very much for sharing with us, you know, the time that you had with Mr. Curtis Mayfield. May he reign in paradise. I have been a fan of his from the beginning. And it's amazing that you all did the makings of you, and he also did the makings of you. And his version is, you know, both versions are just phenomenal. And so we're going to go out listening to Just Walk in My Shoes, Everybody Needs Love, Neither One of Us, Love Overboard, If I Were Your Woman, and The Makings of You. Y'all ready to party?
Okay.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much once again, gentlemen. God bless
you. Thank
you. And keep you, and I will text you each other's numbers after the show, okay?
Thank you so much, Beverly. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's my absolute pleasure.
God bless you, my brother.
And God bless you, too, my brothers. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. You have just witnessed the legendary Marshall Thompson, last man standing of the Shy Lights, with Mr. Bubba Pimp Number One Night, also the last man standing of the legendary Pips from Gladys Knight and the Pips. And we're going out with their legendary music that both Marshall Thompson partook on, Everybody Needs Love, and the legend, historical songs, Just Walk in My Shoes, Love Overboard, et cetera, et cetera. Here we go.
Walk in my shoes. You'll see I want the love that used to be. 2 hours. of the world. the maker.